Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, I thought it was a false start on me saying we're going to the top of the hour news break, but overall, even our intro, we are at Yeoman Stadium, this fine edition of the Saints Hour, a special edition. Obviously, with an open practice going on tonight, things about to get going here as fans have been filing in for the open practice as the Black and Gold are back in Louisiana, not California anymore. And it's me, Steve Geller, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, and Mike Haas. And Jeff Nowak has finally made it in. He's making his way to the sideline now to give us some updates there to find out the latest and greatest from the Black and Gold field level. But overall, guys, it seems like a great crowd. Obviously, I would expect to be filing into this. People starved of seeing their Saints this summer.
Yeah. You know, they're chomping at the bit. And that's what I say. Look, you can come tonight, then you can come again Friday at the Superdome, you know, to watch the team. And the bottom line is, I don't care where we're practicing, just win when it counts. You know, I think the fans would accept. Now, see, because you can have your cake and eat it too. Even though you got a lot done in Irvine, you know, it's not like you're just trying to survive practice. You're actually getting something done. And then the fans say, well, I like it when the team's here every day. Well, you're not going to go every day to practice. I think you'd much rather come week one or the first month of the season, or the whole season, to win those games.
And especially this first month.
Yeah, exactly. How it's going to be. Hoss, Deuce, I don't know how y'all feel, but I'm looking at even say the first six games, I hope we 3-3. I'm still going to have a lot of hope if we 3-3. I just don't want to be one of those 1-5 deals. And I don't know, it's never a must win, but Carolina,
well,
we have to win.
Let's go 1-0. That's what I was saying. Forget 3-3.
Well, we have to win against Carolina. I mean, if we're going to get where we want to, or the natives will get, who that nation will be restless.
At home season opener against a team that, you know, was, you know, last in the division a year ago.
They should be improved, but I mean, you should be a better team than Carolina. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
They should be improved, but you should win that game.
And I'm glad we played in the Cowgirls when we played in week two, so they might still be disgruntled.
I'm interested in how that all comes together. I mean, because I know that unless he signed today, and I don't think so, Lamb, I mean, he's still
– CeeDee Lamb, yeah.
I mean, and so – I don't know if you can just go and say, hey, well, I'm back in a week. Now, you can still use him on third down stuff and red zone stuff. Now, he's still that good of an athlete, but you're not going to get 60 plays out of a guy that has missed all of camp.
And he caused a buzz on his Instagram stories, I think. Yeah, I posted a picture of Spider-Man in a black outfit, though. So everyone's like, what does that mean?
I don't follow those.
The only thing I can tell you right now, who that nation, we start out 2-0, we might have a damn parade. we're going to be so excited. They go,
that's because you're going to rile everybody up about the Dallas game.
And we went. We 2-0. Let me tell you, I was so extremely – you know what the most disappointing I was last year when you look at everything unfolded?
Green Bay.
Yes, we could have been 3-0.
Right.
Think about that. We start out 3-0. We got 12 minutes left in the game. We're winning 17-3, and we lost that damn game. We would have been 3-0, I'm telling you. And it kind of – you know, that's one thing the difference between what Dennis Allen needs to do like Sean Payton. Sean Payton was unbelievable in October. Sean Payton didn't always get off to a fast start, but like October, November, Sean Payton was unbelievable. And Dennis Allen has not been the case.
Well, you were able to go undefeated, or you all only lost one game in the months of October and November.
Yeah.
I mean, you would run the table, literally, and I mean, at worst, you were 2-2, but normally you would run in the table, you know, 4-0 or 3-1.
Yeah, no. So it's going to be, you know, look, strength of schedule. I think one thing this year, and I think we'd all agree with this, whether it was injuries or what, we played better quarterbacks this year. The opposing teams versus last year. Remember, we blamed Danny DeVito on the Giants and all. Well, hell yeah, we should.
Yeah, but it's when you play him. Right? When you play him. Who knows?
Who's going to be healthy?
Who knows who's going to be at that point?
Who's going to be healthy? And then, like, for instance,
if Mahomes isn't healthy, boom, you got Carson Wentz now this year.
You know what else ticked me off, too? It was like, how in the hell the Vikings, we were playing the Pastrnak, Dobbs. Man. Well, we made him look like a Hall of Famer, and we did it in the preseason
Hopefully he does not go to the NFC South to any team ever, please.
No, so just those type games. The point I was making, though, is just the stars were aligned for us to get the 10 wins, to me, last year. Now, this year, it's going to be a lot tougher. I'm not saying you can't do it. And I think until proven differently, I think, we won't fall off the face of the earth. What I mean by that, I cannot see the Saints. That the leaders we have on this team, that all of a sudden we're going 6-11, or are we going 5-12? I will not believe that. Now, 8-9, 9-8, I can see the same song and dance. Now, can you somehow get the 10 wins? And I was talking to CBS National Radio today, and talking about whoever's in the NFC South. You know, everybody's all excited about Atlanta and the Falcons. I can tell you right now with the Falcons, best case scenario for them. And you know what? And now you say, oh, they're a Super Bowl. Well, then let's slow your roll. Now, if Atlanta or the Saints would do what Tampa Bay did last year, win the NFC South, you host a playoff game and you win, I think that'd be – listen, no one should be bitching.
I was going to say, first Atlanta's got to get to the playoffs. It's been a while.
If they don't, it'll be 7 straight years they're in the playoffs. What would it be for us, 4?
Right.
So, no, so not everybody can win, but we all want to win. Or then heads roll. That's just, it's tough love. It's just the way it is. But right now, there's no one right now from a national perspective, you don't have a dog in the hunt, or thinking whether the Falcons win the NFC South, the Saints, or Tampa Bay. There's nobody's thinking they're representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. They're still on that 49ers bandwagon. They're on the Lions or the Packers. Or the Eagles are going to bounce back. Or they might say, oh, watch out. And I said, this one thing. Watch out, I'm telling you, for the Bears or the Commanders. One of those teams.
Folks are getting too delusional with the Bears.
Yeah. Now, they put Caleb Williams already in the Super Bowl. What? I mean, you got to hope the Bears are relevant, make the playoffs. The NFC North's tough.
Baby steps. Get to the playoffs first.
It's tough. But I think when all said and done, because you always have new teams, like who's going to be the Houston Texans of this year? I think it's either going to be the Bears or the Commanders. I mean, I'm a Jane Daniels fan. Caleb Williams, I think
I was going to say, you're mentioning the who's the you know, this year's Houston Texans. Who's going to be this year's C.J. Stroud of those two?
I'm going to be a homer and say Jane Daniels. I think they're both going to do good. I think Caleb Williams and Jane Daniels, I think they're both going to play well. I mean, better. I'm not saying maybe C.J. Stroud level, but they're going to be playing well enough to give him a chance to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Commanders announcing it was either today or yesterday.
Started.
Yeah, he's going to be their starter. I don't think that's a surprise, though, looking at their situation.
No, and he's able to handle it. You don't want to, like, it's interesting to see who's the Patriots quarterback. May. It's like they still don't know, because I heard he was practicing terrible.
Well, the problem, though, with him is I'm probably going with Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett.
But it's because of the offensive line.
Right.
I mean, and so it's one thing when my quarterback is a little mobile
and
can move. But if my quarterback can't move and I know he's going to get hit and you're basically going to delay his development.
And that'll crush his confidence.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know what to me I think's overrated? And I'm not just saying this because my niece is dating the backup quarterback for the Cardinals.
He
played good against the Colts this past.
He played well, and he's battling for the number two position.
He said
nice spiral on the ball.
He said, Mr. Bobby. He goes, I'm way better than Desmond Ridder. He goes, hey, where are Desmond Ridder? He told me I can beat out him. He said, but Kyler Murray. Listen, to me, Kyler Murray's overrated. And now it'd be interesting to see what he's going to do, because I think Colin Murray could be, boy, do you see that play he just made? Or he could be like, man, what was he thinking? So he's kind of in a prima donna syndrome to me, Colin Murray. So, but he's being well compensated, so the Cardinals are counting on him to work out. So I think.
Seeing in front of me here, guys, it's nice to see Alvin Kamara out there, number 41. He's got a helmet on right now. Also back on the field today. Taliese Fuaga, the rookie, is here, so that's a positive news. Obviously, was dealing with a back issue, yeah. And it wasn't, you know, Dennis Allen said, who dads can sleep at night? It wasn't anything that serious. And, you know, he's been pretty up front with injuries, so there was no reason to believe he was lying on that one.
Well, Deuce Ross, do y'all think he plays Sunday a series? No,
not Fuaga?
Yeah, Fuaga.
If his back is good, he probably plays.
Right. Okay.
He probably plays a series or two at most if he's fine back-wise.
Yeah, because you don't want him the whole September, my back. And he's constantly dealing with you want him to get his back because, you know, you can get hurt again. But
He's back, but he's not in with the ones.
Okay.
We got a special edition of our Saints Hour going on here at Tulane Juelman Stadium for the Saints Open Practice. Fans in attendance, we're bringing you the latest and greatest from the session. Be checking back in with our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, too. We're going to take a break and be back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome into our special edition of the Saints Hour, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group here at Juelman Stadium for the Saints Open Practice, as fans have been filing in to see their beloved black and gold back in Louisiana. We're going to head down to the sideline now for a little injury update on folks. Jeff, how's it going down there? I know we've talked about a little of seeing Alvin Kamara and Taliese Fuaga, Pete Werner, and obviously Juwan Johnson back too, but some notable absences so far.
Yeah, you got the important ones in terms of the returners, right? You're seeing Pete Werner, seeing Juwan Johnson out here. It's a good sign. Still no Marshawn Lattimore. The biggest new absence that I can see, obviously Kool-Aid McKinstry got injured during the game. But Chase Young isn't out here. We didn't see him leave the field for any purpose, get nicked up at all. So that's going to be one we have to talk to Dennis Allen about after the game. But otherwise, you know, a lot of the same. Kendre Miller, Rico Payton's got banged up in the game. He's a new absence as well. Isaiah Stallbird, Jalen Ford, Monty Rice, Nick Saldivari, Trajan Jeffcoat, Mason Tipton, Dallin Hulker got hurt before the game, Kevin Rader, and I believe that's it. Let me double check. Yeah, I believe that's all the absences. So, you know, very similar attendance with just a few of those guys returning. But it's really good to see Juwan. I think he's going to add an element to this offense that they sorely need at the tight end position.
Well, Jeff, and Chase Young, you know, he's been unbelievable. We're ready to put him in the Saints Hall of Fame, and he ain't even played in a real game. But I'm almost expecting the expectations. Now, you have to look. Like he's being Trevor Penning. Like I told somebody, he whipped Trevor Penning like 3 reps in a row, and they go, and? Like, they, you know, okay, so who's he beating? So I told him.
And that wasn't accurate either.
Yeah, but you know how everybody was saying that?
It was still wrong. He didn't make that play. He made 2 plays
two
in a row
okay.
on Trevor. But one play, it was Granderson that made the play. Now, Chase was closing very closely. But I mean, it was the same thing in the game. There was a series where all three plays that they ran, he either made the play or he impacted the play where somebody else was forced to make a tackle because he had that much penetration or he beat the double team.
I tell you what, Deuce and Hoss, I'd be surprised if Chase Young plays 17 games. I don't know what's the over and under if you don't get double digit sacks. I just think his high motor and, you know, the expectations, it's not like...
And a contract year.
Yeah, where he came from, yeah, that, I don't know, I'll say for sure at least 8, if not 10 or 12 sacks.
Right now I probably haven't met about 8 sacks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'd say 8, and then I'm just, you know, hoping like 10 or 12, whatever, and, you know, it doesn't matter by committee. All I know is when all said and done, if you're going to be amongst the best, you got to be high 40s, low 50s. 48, 52, 53. Who was yesterday where was he at? It was somebody had told Mike or...
At the Slipper?
The Saints are going to get 60 sacks. I go, 60 sacks? How about we just get 50? And now 60 would be awesome. You're talking about the lunch bunch, you know.
Yeah, you're going back to 2001.
Yeah, that's like NFL history stuff. I mean, come on, 60, let us just get to 50, then we're doing our job.
You got to get them in pass situations, right?
Yeah.
You say, you earn the right to rush the passer, and you got to get them in some, if you got to stop that run, or they're not going to be in those third and whatever.
Third and 8, you know, third and 9, some that's a realistic down. The one thing, you know, you always have to avoid, and that's why I always look at the penalties. You know, like you never won that whole thing. This is a Mara thing. 9 penalties or more are 100 yards. Well, the one thing, and you know, And I was part of this. We led the NFL in third down conversions at 48.5%. You know, Drew Brees at one time, I think they were 54%, which is unbelievable. But how you convert on third down and move the chains, you got to avoid first and 20. Now, because you're probably punting. You know, first and 15 that's stacked against you, but then you get a penalty like first and 20 or now it's second and 15.
Or second and 10.
And you're probably not going to have a sustained drive and you end up having to punt.
You know, Bobby, one thing that I think you'll get a kick out of, you haven't gotten to watch these practices yet, but keep an eye on Andrew Janoco, the new quarterback's coach. I'm not sure I've ever seen an assistant coach who covers more mileage during a practice. He's always like jogging around, running after quarterbacks, running up to him after the play. He's really fun to watch. A lot of energy there.
That's him working in with the quarterbacks with the gold shirt on.
I could see that he can't stay still. You know, the only coach who was like, now this is a D-line coach.
Yeah.
You remember John Pease?
Yeah.
Okay. His nickname, D-line from Utah, was Manchild. He used to go out and ham, and I remember Mara was like, what are you doing? We're all looking at him. Everybody tried to avoid him. He'd make you sweat just looking at him. He'd go punt to himself before practice. And he would take four showers a day. He never used Johnson, talcum powder. I never seen a person, Dean Kleinsman, the trainers, they get all mad because he'd have powder everywhere. He would literally take four showers a day. Now, one thing he was famous for, he was not only the New Jersey state champion in racquetball, he came to Louisiana and won the Louisiana state championship in racquetball.
Dual state champs.
Manchild. I'll tell you, he'd run around. I mean, it was like, oh, you're getting me tired just watching you. No, he literally punt himself and just feel the ball, and he's like sweating. No, it was like, kind of like the QB coach now for the Saints, like Jeff was saying. Yeah, run around.
He was vociferous like that in Irvine, but in OTAs, in minicamp, you thought he was the OC, right? Now, and Clint is somewhat, you know, he's
measured.
He's engaged, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he is measured, but man, Janoco is not. He's all over the place.
He's a new man child.
Special edition of the Saints Hour here from Yulman Stadium for the open practice of the Saints back in Louisiana. Fans back in action, checking out all the action. We'll be right back after these messages on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Saints Hour live on location at Yulman Stadium for the Saints Open Practice, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group here. And guys, you know, look at some of the names that have been standing out, I guess, early on, going to make it hard for this team to cut. I think one guy did a lot last game, jumping to the forefront for me at least, in linebacker Anfernee Orji, guy from, you know, trying to make his way as an undrafted free agent. We've seen him been progressing little by little in this group, and thought he had a really good outing at least last game against San Fran.
Well, I tell you what, Deuce had always comment on this too. I like our depth at the linebacker position, and I think they're tackling machines. Anthony Orji, Deuce, you remember him in the SEC? Didn't you do this game at Vanderbilt?
Did a couple of his games. Talked about it. He's lined up at safety. I've seen him line up at free safety. I've seen him line up at strong safety. The Mike, the Sam, the Will, and defensive end. Those are all the positions where he lined up at Vanderbilt.
Well, and to me, I would not be surprised because, you know, both him and DeMarco Jackson, they tackling machines. Like DeMarco at Appalachian State, you wouldn't be surprised. Now, DeMario Davis is the guy, and I think DeMario's got a lot left in the tank. Wouldn't you be shocked this year if DeMario Davis didn't have 100 tackles? You say, well, hell yeah, he will, Bobby. Come on, 100, 120 tackles. Well, DeMarco Jackson and Anthony Orji, I think they got a nose for the football. And look, when all said and done, Like, look, he had 8 tackles, 7 unassisted, 2 pass defended, tackle for loss. So RG was very active. So, and I look at that, and you know, this is another thing. Like DeMarco Jackson, a lot of fans maybe they might not know this, but I got to get my notes and find this. But you know who was second in special teams tackled behind JT Gray last year?
DeMarco Jackson.
Remember, I've told people, you might guess 2 or 3 other people, but DeMarco Jackson. Like, whether it was, like, I'm just throwing off the top of my head, just say JT Gray had 9.
That's
he had
what
like,
jumped into my head
he
initially,
had,
right?
He had, like, 7. He was right there. So, that I like our linebacker position with RG and DeMarco Jackson.
Looking at some of the other guys, who would you say at least is one of the under-the-radar players that have started to make a name for themselves? I know Rico Payton's been a big one too.
But I think he's more a practice squad guy, Pittsburgh State. I think he's taking advantage of opportunity. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can't go from, like, the Saints practice squad to another team's practice squad. They'd have to activate.
Put you on the active roster. Yeah.
So I could see for sure Rico Payton.
Well, but here's the thing, though. They got to invite you to the practice squad.
Yeah, no, the Saints. You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the Saints are gonna. Yeah, dude. I think they.
But
see
you have.
Some
you don't have to sign with the Saints practice squad.
No, that's right. That's right.
You don't have to sign with the Saints practice squad if you don't make the active 53.
Right.
You're free to sign with anybody.
Yeah. But once you're on the practice squad, you can't come off unless they put you on the active roster. Let's say he signs with the Saints. He can't just decide, oh, I want to go to this other team on the practice squad. Wouldn't he have to go on the active roster first?
No, they would have to just release him.
Yeah.
Well, the Saints would just have to release him.
Right.
Yeah, and he can sign with another practice squad.
Yeah, but if they don't release him, then he's on the Saints.
Yeah, then they would have to assign him to the active 53.
That would be like, and you said we were talking to develop the tight end Jacobson, the 6'7", 8
Correct.
Guy. Yeah, that who you want to develop. And I think –
Well, I mean, but here's the problem now. You got to remember, on all those guys, they can be claimed. Any player that's released Sunday, they can be claimed by another team.
But when they claim another team, that means they're on the active roster.
They're going to the active 53.
Yeah.
They're going to the active 53. Anybody that's claimed that's released from any team, they can go. They can sign with another team.
Well,
they're going to the active 53. Now, it's the next day. It's the next day that you go into, you know, going to a practice squad, agreeing to a practice squad. But really, all of that doesn't become final until Tuesday.
Okay, tell me if you all think, Steve, if you think this is far out left field. I think that when they're going to have the final cut day and all that, don't be surprised if the Saints don't have another running back or offensive tackle on the roster that wasn't even in training camp with the Saints.
No, that's not out of left field. I think there'll be at least anywhere between 3, maybe 4, even possibly 5 new players that aren't on this team right now that'll be on your 53-man roster that Tuesday.
You know, it's kind of like when Sean Payton was starting and getting the guys he wanted. Now, some of them might have came in a trade, but then other ones, remember, they didn't practice. Was it Scott Shanley or Fujita?
Scott Shanley was – no, it was the other linebacker from Philadelphia. Well, you had Hollis Thomas was one.
Yeah.
Was the D lineman, but it was his father-in-law was the tight ends coach. We just talked about
it. In Atlanta, maybe, was it?
Well, yeah, but we literally just talked about
Kansas
it.
Kansas State, I'm trying to think.
No. We literally just talked to Mark Seminole.
Kevin, all of a sudden, he's like playing.
Yeah. Well, he started.
Yeah, right.
He was one of the starters.
Right.
He was one of the starters as far as the linebackers. I mean, and so that does happen. But I would not be surprised one bit. And there's your rook. He's getting some running in. Fuaga, you know, he's in uniform, but he's not practicing. So he's getting him some running in, and so he's going to be fine.
Yeah, still a good sign for Tuesday.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. But, you know, for me, I would not be surprised one bit, and not even just those position, Bobby. But here's the thing. What you see on Tuesday, I don't think that'll be the final roster for the year either.
Yeah, when they do the 53-man roster.
You're gonna play the game where, hey, come Sunday – we want to use this player. Call somebody up from your practice squad.
Right, and activate it.
Based off of whether it's based off
so
of game
plan. It's gonna be fluid.
It'll be very fluid.
Yeah.
it'll be very fluid as far as that roster is concerned, because they will flip it over. They will flip it over a ton.
Yeah. Like, so it can't be. You can't just rest like, oh, Dad and Mom, I made the team for Sean Mayer. Like, oh no, I made it this week.
Right. Okay. I mean, it was you know, it got extended from a size standpoint, COVID, and you needed players. But and as Deuce talked about, it's more now situational, because you can bring a guy up two or three times before you have to keep him there or make a decision. So you're able to kind of put him back, bring him up, put him back, need this guy for this week against this team, and don't need him for the next week against another team.
Well, now the owners won't agree with this, but I think it's good for the fans and your football team. To me, you should have expanded rosters, and it should be, I don't know, the active roster and the practice squad, everybody's on the team. Or, you know, but they don't want to pay those
Let's just
full
go with
salaries.
53. Let's just try to get the 53 on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. The 53 on the field. Exactly, Hoss. Because don't you want the best product
right
out there? Yeah,
We don't need to be set. We don't need, you know.
Yeah, you're like,
the inactive list on Sunday.
Yeah, make everybody active.
Guys, now we're going to pause a few seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Practice getting underway here at Yeoman Stadium, the open practice for fans filing in here for the open event. We got one tonight, and then also again a Friday afternoon session in the Caesars Superdome. Black and gold back in action in Louisiana. Feels good to have him back from the West Coast. An extended road trip, you could say. We're going to take a break and be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back into the Saints Hour, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints practice going on right now. Fans in attendance here at Yeoman Stadium. Can't wait for that Caesars Superdome feeling, not only Sunday against the Tennessee Titans, but also Friday afternoon open practice. I'm going to try to get the little guy out of school early.
Well, you know what I'm excited about? Because it's going to be the closest thing. You know, when they made SoFi, the new stadium, like the Disneyland, Disney World of the NFL. Well, now we got a new dome. So it's not. I don't think it's 100% finished, but close to it.
It's finished.
It's finished. Oh, good job, Hall.
We got an insider.
It's going to be.
We're an airport. We're always working. We're always looking to better the experience.
And this could be unbelievable, I think, because you know we got all our ducks in a row. The Super Bowl's coming to the Big Easy, and you got the Titans, and then you got that mini bye, and then Carolina.
Boom.
So it's going to be rock. Hey, listen, I love the dome. I love that we're playing inside. Hey, listen, now, a retractable roof, I don't know if they ever would do that. Down the road, I'd be dead probably by then, you know, if they open up the dome. But let me tell you what.
Well, Bobby.
Tulane Stadium was nice, but it ain't nothing like the dome.
Well, I just wanted to give the listeners a little cue of what's going on now. You've got 7-on-7 with the defense and the skill position, and then the offensive line and the D-line. They're working 1-on-1. Now, the problem that you have really with the 1-on-1 situation is you don't have pads on, and so it shells. And so knowing that's the case, it makes it a little tougher for those guys. And you all the, you know, the ones and the twos have gone or are going, and the same thing for the defense. And so Pete Warner is one of those guys, DeMario participating. I saw Debo. I don't know if that was him. I know he was out there early. I don't think he was in at corner. No, that was Rajon Wright. But
I think Trevor Penny's going out. Let me see.
Yeah, no, that's the second time that it was inside move. The first one was Cam, and then now that was
man, Isaiah Foskey beat him.
Bobby, that's an inside move with Lyman. I don't know if you call that being beat. I don't know if you call that being beat.
It didn't look like he was dominating Foskey. And Foskey, that's another one.
Well, what did I just say? It's with no pads on, right? How are you going to dominate that? I mean, you're not going to make that move with the guard right there anyway.
Right. That's true.
It's advantage defense.
Well, advantage
but
defense.
I don't want to call it a wasted rep because man, all it is on air.
Man, y'all just taking it for pinning.
Look at the other players. Tell me if this is a win. Is that a win?
Whoever that is, he got whooped. The whole offensive line looks like they're getting whooped.
How is that a...
Let me see. Oh, no, look, the tackle one, who's that? Who's 74?
He went around, that's Udo.
That's our new starting tackle. Got him Udo right I'm putting him in the game right now.
Hey, guys, I got some updates for you if you want.
All right, Jeff. Hey, how's it going, Jeff?
Hey. So we saw Juwan. Juwan's been moving around pretty well in general, but he and Alvin are not participating in these 7-on-7, so it looks like they're back, but they're limited. We also saw, as Deuce mentioned, Fuaga was going through some of the individual reps. He came out and he was jogging along the side, the end line for a couple minutes as well. So it looks like we're getting some of those guys back, but they're not full participants.
Also seen on the way other sideline, Jeff, it looks like Michael Jacobson's getting a little side work in there with some guys.
Yeah, I think that's just the process of ramping up for some of these guys, and it's good to see him back. Hopefully by the end of the week, you'll get them back into full participation. And then obviously the preseason game on Sunday for guys like Jacobson would be a big target, I imagine.
And, Jeff, I want you and Deuce and Hosh, y'all chime in because y'all witnessed all this. When you look at the safety position, you know, we were extremely disappointed we didn't get Justin Simmons. He went to Atlanta, and now at Bates, I think they have the best duo of safeties in the NFC South, or maybe the NFL. You look at that combination. You know who we haven't talked about much, I guess, because he's probably doing his job as Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. You know, we've been talking about who's going to be the guy alongside Tyrann Mathieu. You know, like Will Harris got a start. Look at Jordan Howard. He got juked on that fourth down, you know, gets a pass or not. You know, can he come up with a stop? I mean, who's going to be that other safety? Because you look at it's wide open. Jonathan Abram, to me, and let me tell you, if he was – now you can't get better, but if he was all that, considering where he was drafted, Deuce, I know he's from Mississippi State guy. But if he was all that, the Raiders never let him go.
Well, he was injured.
Yeah, but he was injured.
He was injured two of the 4 years he was there. He was injured,
and he used to get burnt. And whoever he was covering, they would pick on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been a downhill guy as far as a box safety. I mean, and a lot of times, even here, they put him in at the dime position, and as a linebacker. I mean, and he walks down into the box. He's done a lot better covering.
Right.
Since he's been here, but I mean, that was part of the issues that when he was with the Raiders. But it was also he was hurt.
Okay, he was hurt just bad luck. So who do you?
And
pick?
I'm not talking. I'm talking about like out for the year.
Like really hurt.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. It wasn't no like the nitpicking.
No. Out for the year.
Well, yeah, you got to have luck with injuries. So what do y'all think, Hall's Deuce? Is it Jordan Howland?
Jordan
Howland's
in the mix.
Well, it's all three of them. I mean, the way that they've used them, I mean, like right here for the starter. Yeah, right here it's Jonathan Abrams, and this is red zone, and this is base defense.
Okay.
Now, when they go nickel, you'll see either Howden roll in or you'll see Will Harris. So the Saints are in, what is that, 11 personnel, and, you know, the Saints defense, they went base defense. And so now, right now, you got nickel coming onto the field.
And, Deuce, I wanted to ask you about this.
Wait. Yeah. Just hold on 1 second, Bobby. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Wait for the snap.
Not even that. I was trying to give you the safety, and Jonathan Abrams does stay in at safety.
Okay, so he stays deep middle.
Yeah, he stays in at safety right here for him, even though they go nickel. Now, what they did, Wright comes in, and then you bump Alante Taylor over to the nickel position.
And you got Shamar Jean-Charles and Rajon Wright at corners, right?
Correct.
Now, Deuce, what was your, like, on both of y'all, Honey Badger? I mean, he's just been steady?
He's been steady. He's been able to be the leader of that back end, getting all of those guys lined up, like you just talked about. Remember, your starting corners haven't participated really, you know, most of camp. Well, somebody's got to be the leader back there to make sure that those young guys understand and know what we're doing on the back end. And so if DeMario isn't in there at the mic, who's the leader of that defense? It turns to the Honey Badger.
Right,
that's who it's been.
Experience, yeah.
And then they signed commit, and then they signed Joe Juwan Williams. That guy was a second-round pick in 2019, 45th overall. So, I mean, we talked about it maybe during the break. It was like, this team's going to be somewhat different when we get to the actual 53 before Carolina. And that means four or five, you know, players that are not on this roster right now would be on this roster.
Don't step away, folks. Things are starting to ramp up here at Saints practice here at Yulman Stadium. We'll be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Back into the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Practice going on for the black and gold. Fans in attendance. Feels like football back in Louisiana for sure. It's been a long time coming. I know, Bobby, you talked about how the weather out west, though, helps you get a lot of more about, work in and a lot more done instead of having to deal with the grueling heat.
Yeah, well, you're just not trying to survive practice. You're actually getting better at practice. Now, I don't care. They could be in Louisiana. It's one a days. It's not two a days. come on, then you're really trying to survive. Like, it's not like the old man, get off my lawn.
Right.
You know, whatever. But no, I mean, you can get a lot done out. And to me, if they even did this in the future, no matter if you're doing any and, you know, whether it's make the weight room better or the cafeteria, to me, if we have a winning season, they might go back to Irvine. But then all of a sudden, if it's not successful, they, you know, it tends, the administration might say, okay, we don't need to go out there and spend all that money. But if you win, and I like that formula, let's keep that same routine going. So, I mean, I don't know.
If it broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, they might be back in Louisiana for sure next year. I don't know if that decision's been made. But well, I know they can get more done.
I can tell you this, Bobby.
Yeah.
The plan is to be back in New Orleans.
Okay. For the whole camp.
Now,
okay.
If you win and you get into the playoffs, now you may be able to go out to Irvine for a week or 10 days.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't be the whole camp.
Go against the Chargers.
I mean, you could. It's five teams there.
Right.
So, no, it's five teams.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
a lot of competition.
Yeah,
doesn't include San Francisco.
No, that doesn't include San Francisco. So, I mean, it's five teams within 100 miles that you can practice against.
Hello.
But they will be back in New Orleans next year for camp. Now, is it the full camp? That's to be determined on if they can win some games. And say, who's catching punts right there? Who was that was catching punts for you?
Who's that? Hugo, Deuce, you said it.
Yep.
That's what he can give you. I mean, and like I said, you may not return it. Just go catch it.
Yeah, don't drop
because,
it.
Because here's the things when you talk about with Rasheed getting more reps offensively, I want to take some of the load off of him from where I don't burn him out as a returner.
Right.
Now, he's dangerous.
But a big part of the offense and not just
He's your starter.
Right, right.
I mean, so
right.
He's my starter. Guy, he's not a big part. You're a starter.
Right, right. Opposite of Chris Olave.
You're a starter. I mean, the only time you're not out there is when they're running 13. I mean, outside of that, you're out there. And so I need you to be fresh for offense, not just to go and catch a punt. And not to say that Kool-Aid, because Kool-Aid has done it, but I don't know if they trust Kool-Aid enough to be able to go out there and catch a punt. And he's hurt right now anyway.
Right.
But I don't know if they trust him enough to be able to go out there and catch a punt.
So, Deuce, and also wanted to ask y'all, what do y'all think? Because I think it was a big get. When you look at Gay and whether to spy for the quarterback, whatever, get for the Chiefs. But what about Hudson from the Commanders? Is he on the team? I don't know.
He's fighting.
I know that's what I'm saying.
You talked about Anthony Origin. You talk about DeMarco Jackson. Both of those guys have made it really, really interesting.
Right.
The only way that I would say he is probably – it would have to be special teams, and it would have to be true numbers game when you talk about how the numbers cut. I mean, because you know your top three, and then my next two, if I'm going to keep six backers, then yes, he's my sixth backer.
But and then the other one, Deuce, because you know they want to make him work out because it makes the scouting department look good, Jalen Ford.
Well, I mean, okay, you but look right at, now, Bobby, he's hurt.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
Back-to-back hamstrings.
And he's a fifth-round pick.
He's
but,
hurt.
I mean, do you put him on IR? Or I mean, I don't you know. Because they're not going to get rid of him, I think.
You don't want to get rid of him. Right. I mean, but I mean, at the end of the day, are you keeping him just because you drafted him?
It feels that way.
Yeah, well,
not just this team, but all right.
A lot of teams. Yeah.
So, I mean, but at the end of the day, are you trying to win or are you trying to make your scouting department look good?
No, we got to win. You preach it to the choir.
So,
here.
I mean, that's almost like saying, well, why did you sign this young man over here then?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you sign Hudson?
Yeah,
that scouting department. Now it's a different, you know, it's pro scouting and college scouting.
No, well, we hit one out of the two. We hit Gay, and Gay worked out. Hudson didn't, but to me,
I don't know if we're saying that yet.
Yeah, I don't know if it didn't work out, but I'm just saying I don't see you keeping seven linebackers.
Right.
You're probably going to keep six.
That was my question. Do you think they will keep six?
I think it's six.
Yeah,
I think it's six linebackers,
and Hudson might be an odd man out. I mean, because of the play of DeMarco Jackson and RG, what they've done.
So you would keep somebody that's hurt over somebody that's healthy and ready to go?
Well, the Kalen Ford, that's the thing. Ford or Hudson? That's the question with six right there. And do you put Ford on IR or Hudson?
Here's what I'm going to do, Bobby. I'm going to cut Hudson when I have to get down to 53.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell him, don't you go anywhere.
You'll stay in New Orleans, live here.
No, don't even live here.
Squad.
And soon as I can put Ford on IR, which is that Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll bring you.
That's when you go.
Well, no,
I have a note to add here.
That makes sense.
Check in with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. What you got, Jeff?
Go ahead,
Jeff.
So I don't know if we've talked about this. I know, Deuce, you and I have talked about the IR situation. So there's a rule change this year with IR that you can actually designate two players to go on IR to return prior to cutdowns. So that you can actually – you don't have to do what you're talking about with two players. You can actually just send them to IR and free up those spots in advance.
Well, there's two players right now, or one for sure I would do it with, and that's Jeff Coat. Because, Jeff, this is the conversation, and you can talk about it. You can say what we talked about with him.
What with Jeff Coat?
Trajan Jeff Coat?
Jeff, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if they didn't want to keep him around, he wouldn't be on the roster right now.
Does that make sense? I mean, because he's been hurt with the elbow for a couple of weeks.
Forever, yeah.
For a couple of weeks. I mean, but it you saw it, and it's no knock since here at Haynesworth. You're just a player that just got hurt.
Exactly.
He just got hurt. What happened? It was injured wave.
Well, Jermaine Jackson, same situation.
Jermaine Jackson. As soon as he hurt his hamstring the next day, it was an injury wave situation. And so that tells you right there what they think of him as far as an overall player. But, I mean, if they wanted to release him and get that roster spot, they would have done it already. So, Jeff, I thank you for that information for two players that, you know, basically, I guess you can go ahead. Well, I guess the question is, do they have to – is it four games still for them or
it
six
is.
Games?
It's the same general rules. Okay. You just can do it in advance because every team does the same thing, right?
Gotcha.
You say, hey, don't go in. I remember last year – I want to say it was last year, maybe the year before, Dwayne Washington got cut in that scenario, and we were all like, guys, he's going to come back. I think we saw him the next day in the locker room.
Correct.
Like, he wasn't even – I don't even know if he's on the roster yet, but he was like, yeah, I know I'm going to be here. So it's kind of that, like, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, like, we know. So I think it's a way for teams to not have to go through that process.
Looking at some of the special teams action still going on right now, wondering your guys' impression.
Well, tell me what's going on with special teams.
Payball was punting earlier.
People want to know. Tell me what's going on.
I was going to say the impressions, though, of the kickoff that's been going on. Everyone was saying there was going to be so much excitement.
I haven't seen that excitement yet. It's excitement. It's excitement.
We're still watching it.
You're watching it.
For the first time in a long time.
You're getting out to the 30 or the 35.
I know, taking it to the house.
Well, I think that's coming. I think people had to get a feel of how they're going to return it. Because even for the Saints, this past game, it was almost where they set it up outside, but the back cut back to a middle return. And so I think people are trying to figure out how they're going to set that return up. And, you know, you're going to have some excitement. I mean, because here's how I see that situation playing. If I am a
that was terrible.
Now wait, you got to explain. You can't throw that softball.
What Deuce was saying was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't even get to say anything. Anybody said, "Oh, that's terrible."
No, the punt.
But you were talking about the punt. I know.
No, that went to the 18-yard line. Man, you got to get that inside the 10. Come on, I'm like.
If you want to run the football,
yeah,
and this Saints team wants to run the football, you have to be strong defensively. You have to be strong special team-wise.
Yep.
So, from a return standpoint, if I know that I can get the ball at the 30 to the 35-plus, and I have – we'll just use two kickers who feel comfortable kicking 50 to 55-yard field goals, particularly indoors, if I am going to run the football and play action, I need a few explosive plays. But, Bobby, you tell me this. If your average starting field position is the 38-yard line, how do you feel as a quarterback?
Well, you should score. You should get points.
Saints had one of the best offensive starting position in the NFL. They were number two.
38-yard line. You give me two first downs and a plus 15?
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, then you're getting points. You're getting points. Hey, that's how we're going to win. I'm telling you, we're not going to blow the top off anything. And we might win ugly, but as long as we win, I don't care. That ain't ugly. That's winning football. We win two out of the three. Win special teams, defense, offense. We so-so. We're winning, winning on defense and special teams.
That's a wrap on the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Stay tuned for more for WWL right after this for more Saints coverage. Back into the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Practice going on for the black and gold. Fans in attendance. Feels like football back in Louisiana for sure. It's been a long time coming. I know, Bobby, you talked about how the weather out west, though, helps you get a lot of work in and a lot more done instead of having to deal with the grueling heat.
Yeah, well, you're just not trying to survive practice. You're actually getting better at practice. Now, I don't care. They could be in Louisiana. It's one-a-days. It's not two-a-days. Come on. Then you're really trying to survive. Like, it's not like the old man, get off my lawn.
Right.
You know, whatever. But, no, I mean, you can get a lot done out. And to me, if they even did this in the future, no matter if you're doing any more, and, you know, whether it's make the weight room better or the cafeteria, to me, if we have a winning season, they might go back to Irvine. But then all of a sudden, if it's not successful, the administration might say, okay, we don't need to go out there and spend all that money. But if you win, and I like that formula, let's keep that same routine going. So, I mean, I don't know.
If they're broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah, they might be back in Louisiana for sure next year. I don't know if that decision's been made. But well, I know that they can get more done.
I can tell you this, Bobby.
Yeah.
The plan is to be back in New Orleans.
Okay. For the whole camp.
Now.
Okay.
If you win and you get into the playoffs, now you may be able to go out to Irvine for a week or 10 days.
Yeah, yeah.
It won't be the whole camp.
Go against the Chargers.
I mean, you could. It's five teams there.
Right.
So no, it's five teams.
Oh wow! I mean, a lot of competition.
Yeah.
That doesn't include San Francisco.
No, that doesn't include San Francisco. So I mean, it's five teams within 100 miles that you can practice against.
Hello.
But they will be back in New Orleans next year for camp. Now, is it the full camp? That's to be determined on if they can win some games. And say, who's catching punts right there? Who was that was catching punts for you?
Who's that? Deuce, you said it.
Yep.
That's what he can give you. I mean, and like I said, you may not return it. Just go catch it.
Yeah, don't drop
because,
it.
Because here's the things when you talk about with Rasheed getting more reps offensively, I want to take some of the load off of him from where I don't burn him out. As a returner.
Right.
Now, he's dangerous.
But a big part of the offense and not just
He's your starter.
Right, right.
I mean, so
right.
He's my starter. Guys, he's not a big part. You're a starter.
Right, right. Opposite of Chris Olave.
You're a starter. I mean, the only time you're not out there is when they're running 13. I mean, gotcha. Outside of that, you're out there. And so I need you to be fresh for offense, not just to go and catch a punt. And not to say that Kool-Aid, because Kool-Aid has done it, but I don't know if they trust Kool-Aid enough to be able to go out there and catch a punt. And he's hurt right now anyway.
Right.
But I don't know if they trust him enough to be able to go out there and catch a punt.
So, Deuce, and also wanted to ask y'all, what do y'all think? Because I think it was a big get. When you look at Gay and whether to spy for the quarterback, whatever, get for the Chiefs. But what about Hudson? From the Commanders. Is he on the team? I don't know.
He's fighting.
I know that's what I'm saying.
You talked about Anthony Origin. You talk about DeMarco Jackson. Both of those guys have made it really, really interesting.
Right.
The only way that I would say he is probably – it would have to be special teams, and it would have to be true numbers game when you talk about how the numbers cut. I mean, because you know your top three – and then my next two, if I'm going to keep six backers, then yes, he's my six backer.
But and then the other one, Deuce, because you know they want to make him work out because it makes the scouting department look good. Jalen Ford.
Well, I mean, okay, but right now, Bobby, he's hurt.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
back-to-back hamstrings,
and he's a fifth round pick.
He's hurt.
I mean, do you put him on IR? Or I mean, they're not going to get rid of him. I think because
you don't want to get rid of him. Right. I mean, but I mean, at the end of the day, are you keeping him just because you drafted him?
That could,
sometimes it feels that way.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
not
right.
just this team, but all right.
A lot of teams, yeah. So,
I mean, but at the end of the day, are you trying to win or are you trying to make your scouting department look good?
No, we got to win. Hey, you preach it to the choir.
So,
here.
I mean, that's almost like saying, well, why did you sign this young man over here then?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you sign Hutton?
Yeah,
that scouting department. Now it's a different, you know, it's pro scouting and college scouting.
No, well, we hit one out of the two. We hit Gay, and Gay worked out. Hutson didn't, but to me,
I don't think it's necessarily that yet. Yeah, I don't know if it didn't work out, but I'm just saying I don't see you keeping seven linebackers.
Right.
You're probably going to keep six.
That was my question. Do you think they will keep six?
I think it's six.
Yeah,
it's six linebackers,
and Hutson might be an odd man out. I mean, because of the play of DeMarco Jackson and RG, what they've done.
So you would keep somebody that's hurt over somebody that's healthy and ready to go?
Well, Kalen Ford, that's the thing. Ford or Hutson? That's the question with six right there. And do you put Ford on IR or Hutson?
Here's what I'm going to do, Bobby. I'm going to cut Hutson when I have to get down to 53.
Oh, yeah,
and
that makes sense.
I'm going to tell him, don't you go anywhere.
You stay in New Orleans, live here.
And soon as I can put Ford on IR, which is that Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll bring it.
That's when you go.
Well, no.
I have a note to add here.
That makes sense.
Check in with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. What you got, Jeff?
Go ahead, Jeff.
So I don't know if we've talked about this. I know, Deuce, you and I have talked about the IR situation. So there's a rule change this year with IR that you can actually designate two players to go on IR to return prior to cutdowns, so that you can actually – you don't have to do what you're talking about with two players. You can actually just send them to IR and free up those spots in advance.
Well, there's two players right now, or one for sure I would do it with, and that's Jeff Coat, because, Jeff, this is the conversation, and you can talk about it. You can say what we talked about with him.
What with Jeff Coat?
Jeff Coat?
Jeff, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if they didn't want to keep him around, he wouldn't be on the roster right now.
Does that make sense? I mean, because he's been hurt with the elbow for a couple of weeks.
Forever, yeah.
For a couple of weeks. I mean, but it you saw it, and it's no knock. Since you're Haynesworth, you're just a player that just got hurt.
Exactly.
He just got hurt. What happened? It was injured wave.
Well, Jermaine Jackson, same situation.
Jermaine Jackson. As soon as he hurt his hamstring the next day, it was an injury wave situation. And so that tells you right there what they think of him as far as an overall player. But, I mean, if they wanted to release him and get that roster spot, they would have done it already. So, Jeff, I thank you for that information for two players that, you know, basically, I guess you can go ahead. Well, I guess the question is, do they have to – is it four games still for them or
it
six
is.
Games?
It's the same general rules. Okay. You just can do it in advance because every team does the same thing, right?
Gotcha.
You say, hey, don't go in. I remember last year – I want to say it was last year, maybe the year before, Dwayne Washington got cut in that scenario, and we were all like, guys, he's going to come back. I think we saw him the next day in the locker room.
Correct.
Like, I don't even know if he's on the roster yet, but he was like, yeah, I know I'm going to be here. So it's kind of that, like, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, like, we know. So I think it's a way for teams to not have to go through that process.
Looking at some of the special teams action still going on right now, wondering your guys' impression.
Well, tell me what's going on with special teams.
Payball was punting earlier.
People want to know. Tell me what's going on.
I was going to say the impressions, though, of the kickoff that's been going on. Everyone was saying there was going to be so much excitement.
I haven't seen that excitement yet. It's excitement. It's excitement.
We're still watching it.
You're watching it.
For the first time in a long time.
You're getting out to the 30 or the 35.
Yeah, no one taking it to the house.
Well, I think that's coming. I think people had to get a feel of how they're going to return it.
Right.
Because even for the Saints, this past game, it was almost where they set it up outside, but the back cut back to a middle return. And so I think people are trying to figure out how they're going to set that return up. And, you know, you're going to have some excitement. I mean, because here's how I see that situation playing. If I am a
that was terrible.
Now wait, you gotta explain. You can't throw that softball.
What Deuce was saying was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't even get to say anything. Everybody said, "Oh, that's terrible."
No, the punt.
But you were talking about the punt. I know.
No, that went to the 18-yard line. Man, you gotta get that inside the 10. Come on, I'm like.
If you want to run the football,
yeah,
and this Saints team wants to run the football, you have to be strong defensively. You have to be strong special team-wise.
Yep.
So, from a return standpoint, if I know that I can get the ball at the 30 to the 35-plus, and I have – we'll just use two kickers who feel comfortable kicking 50 to 55-yard field goals, particularly indoors, if I am going to run the football and play action, I need a few explosive plays. But, Bobby, you tell me this. If your average starting field position is the 38-yard line, how do you feel as a quarterback?
Well, you should score. You should get points.
Saints had one of the best offensive starting position in the NFL. They were number two.
38-yard line. You give me two field goals. You give me two first downs and a plus 15? Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, then you're getting points. Hey, that's how we're going to win. I'm telling you, we're not going to blow the top off anything. And we might win ugly, but as long as we win, I don't care. That ain't ugly. That's winning football. Bam. We win two out of the three. Win special teams, defense, offense. We so-so. But we're winning on defense and special teams.
That's a wrap on the Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Brought to you by the Bullseye Event Group. Stay tuned for more for WWL right after this for more Saints coverage.